The Gemara in the last parak in Brachah speaks about the din of Birchas HaGomel that is an obligation. This is an obligation on a person who had a tremendous control. Yeshua, that he's obligated to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's a machlokes on that Gemara, Menachos, between Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi learns avot tzichim lahoida is that the poor people are obligated to bring a korban todah for the Beis Hamikdash. And Tosfos disagrees with Rashi and they say it's not true that a korban todah, the Gemara says, is always bought ben eder and a dog. It means that it's always optional. Never obligated to bring it. Rashi holds you can. It's not like a chatas and nosha that you only bring it when you're obligated to, and you can never volunteer it. So Rashi learns now there are four people who are obligated to bring a korban todah, and whoever else wants to, it's a rishus. And Tosfos says not so. Tosfos says that it's always a rishus. You never mechuyif. And avot tzichim lahoidah means you mechuyif to recite Birchas HaGomel. So the Gemara comments that not only is the one who had the Hatzolah, the Yeshua, obligated to recite the Birchas HaGomel, other people who see it have a Rishus. I have a Chiyuv to say Birchas HaGomel. I was a Chedesh and a Sraphi, I used in a Beis Asurin. So I have an obligation to recite Birchas HaGomel. And the other people who are happy for me have a Rishus that they can recite it. The Gemara tells the story in the last Perek in Brachah. Somebody was sick and he got better, so the other people who saw him said the Birchas HaGomel, he said Amen. So the Gemara has a strange din, he was Yotzei. He was Mechui B'dover and he said Amen. So complicated Gemara there, why that should be so. So that's what you find in the beginning of Yisro. Yisro wasn't in the Sakana. So Yisro says the Brachah, Baruch Hashem Shehitzel Leschem Miyad Nisan and Miyad Parah. He says the Brachah. And Yisrael had an obligation to say a brach, and Yisrael had a rishus to say such a brach. The pasuk is very difficult. Pasuk Yud in the beginning of the parsha. Baruch Hashem shehitzel eschem miyad mitzrayim and miyad parah shehitzel esam mitachas yad mitzrayim. It's repetitious. Why the repetition over here? Shehitzel eschem miyad mitzrayim and miyad parah shehitzel esam mitachas yad mitzrayim. Written twice. As some interpret, mitachas yad mitzrayim. Rashi writes, Yad Mitzrayim is Loshen Ridu Yemoris Hayad Shehoi Machbidim Aleihem Hiho Avoido. Itachas Yad Mitzrayim means the Koshi Hashibud, the Shibud that they have. The first, and the Chacham tells us in the Medrash that Shevet Levi wasn't subject to the Shibud Mitzrayim. Clergyman. Shevet Levi, he knew those are the Jewish clergymen, so he's not going to stand up with them. So some interpret that that's the pshat in the pasuk. Baruch Hashem Shehitzel Eschem Miyad Mitzrayim. He's talking to Moshe and Aaron. Moshe and Aaron were from Shevet Levi, so they were not under any Yad Mitzrayim. Tachas Yad Mitzrayim. They weren't. They didn't suffer any shibud at all. But they were still in Golus. Like we live here in America, so everybody's making a living. Everybody's rolling in money. We do whatever we want, but they're still not in Eretz Yisrael. Still in Golus. We have a bereit to go. They didn't have the option of leaving. So the first bracha that he says, Baruch Hashem Sheitzel Eschem Yad Mitzrayim Yad Paro, he left the Golus, that they didn't let you go to Eretz Yisrael. That he says, Baruch Hashem, that they were able to leave the Golus and they're on their way to go to Eretz Yisrael. Then he says another bracha, Sheitzel Eschem Mitachas Yad Mitzrayim, that Bnei Yisrael were Nitzel from the Shibud. That part of the bracha didn't apply to Moshe and Aharon because they were from Shevet Levi, they were Takanat Tachas HaShibud. Atoya daiti kigoro Hashem kolhu elikim kivadova shezodu aleihem. Atoya daiti. What is Atoya daiti? Now he realizes how great God is. Akira hayisi l'shava v'achsha b'yoysid. Now he even realizes more, Rashi says. Kivadova shezodu aleihem. The Midrashim say that Yisrael was one of the advisors of Paro. Yisrael, Eov, he had a whole group, had a whole cabinet that he used to consult to discuss plans for the future, like any government, any normal government. So the one in charge discusses matters with other people. So the members of the cabinet, or the members of the parliament, whatever, here they were the cabinet, the members of the cabinet who heard all of the wild plans that Paro had, that he wanted to cause the Jews so much suffering, they were able to appreciate more the Yeshua that the Jewish people had. Ki v'adov asher zodu aleihem. The same way that they wanted to cause the Jews suffering, that's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu punished them, midah k'neged midah. Other people who wouldn't have been in the other people who are not in the cabinet wouldn't know all of the plans and all the plots that that the Umas Olam had against the Jewish people. So they wouldn't realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was punishing these Umas Olam, midah k'neged midah. But Yisrael was one of the members of that cabinet, so that's why he says, ki v'adovah, he saw that all of the punishment was midah k'neged midah. That's how they say over a bio from, I think, from Abitzala of Alojina, if I'm not mistaken, the son of Rachaim Alojina. On the Pasuk, they say that one of the Goyish ministers in Russia once asked him, how do you read Pshat in the Pasuk in Tilim? All the nations of the world should praise God because the Jewish people had a Yeshua. Why should they dance from joy? We should dance from joy that we had a Yeshua. So Rabbi Tzola said, no, that the Jewish people thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu they had a Yeshua, but we don't really fully appreciate what the Yeshua was. We don't really see that it was midah k'neged midah, because we don't know what they were plotting, what they were planning. The Goyim were planning much more. They should praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu more because they see the way history unfolded itself, that that there was a bigger Yeshua than we thought, there was a bigger Hatzava than we thought. So that's what others pointed out, that seems to be the Pshat of Kibadova Shazadu Aleihem, that Yisrael was one of the close advisors of Paro, so that's why he's praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu more than Bnei Yisrael, in a certain sense. He appreciates the Hatzava even more than the Jewish people do. Then the Pasuk says that they brought korbanos. Vayikach Yisrael chos Moshe oilo uzvachim leilokim. Oilo is an oilo, zvachim shlamim, Rashi says. Oilo uzvachim, and oilo and shlamim. Vayovay Aaron chol zikni Yisrael lechalachim lechosei Moshe lifnei hu elokim. Maze lifnei hu elokim. So some Rishonim say Pasha Pshat on the Pasuk. I think it's the Cheskuni, maybe some others also. Lifnei Elokim means like me lifnei Elokim. They brought the korbanos and then they walked away. Vayovai, how does it say? They brought oilo zvachim Elokim. Then vayovai Aaron chazik nisal lech alechem. He sat down to have a party. Me lifnei Elokim. They walked away from the korbanos. But the question is, it doesn't say me lifnei. It says lifnei. That's a Rashi quotes from the Chazal, a comment from the Gemara Brachas Mikan. You read the pasuk kipshuta lifnei, even though maybe you should interpret it mi lifnei. But why does it say lifnei? Mikan shanenem esuda shetamid echachamim mesubim bo kilenenem zivchei hashchinim. They were eating a regular meal, not that they were eating the korbanos. Oilo. Nobody eats the oilo. Shlamim maybe yeah. The shlamim maybe yeah. That's the question. If a nochri, if Yisrael was a nochri locher, he came to be mizgayer. Was he in mizgayer already? A little unclear. When he brought these korbanos, was in his guy. The Gemara says that if a nachri brings a shlamim, is the nachri allowed to eat the shlamim? No, nachri for sure is not allowed to eat the shlamim. The shaila is whether the Israelim are allowed to eat the shlamim. Maybe even if the nachri brings a shlamim, maybe you have it to be makriv it as an oilo. So the Gemara in the end of Zvachim has such a discussion. So what is oilo Zvachim? Let us say oilo vi oilo. No, it's a different korban. Oilo. This is an oil of Dasa Shlomim. This is a Kachim Kachim, this is a Kachim Kalam. If you're going to burn the whole thing, I don't know exactly. So what's the significance of this an oil of Dasa Shlomim? I don't know. If you hold that the Shlomim is Nechal, but the Goy doesn't need it, then we understand what it means he brought oil of Shlomim. So that's why it's hard to learn Pshat over here. They sat down, Lech Alech and Litnei Elokim, they were eating the Korbanos, they were eating the Besar Shlomim. The question is, was he eating? He was a Nachri still. Was he able to eat the Besar HaShlamim? A Goy can't eat Besar HaShlamim. That's why Rashi quotes from the Chazal, Lifnei HaLikim doesn't mean they were eating the Shlamim Lifnei Hashem. Like eat the Korbanos in the presence of Hashem. No, they were eating Asura Shetamid HaChachamim Mesubim Bo. Kilonenem Ziv HaShkina. It's called Lifnei Elokim because there was a Talmud Chacham there. What does it mean? Mesubin Bar means that doesn't mean that they're all cracking dirty jokes and Moshe Rabbeinu is sitting there in the corner. It means Moshe Rabbeinu was dominating the conversation. Moshe Rabbeinu was quite a personality. So Mesubin, he was the main speaker and he was saying the great Torah, and the others, they were all, it was a Torah Dikasuda. So that's considered Lifnei Elokim. The mile of having Talmud Chacham and Mesubin in a Suda, is it the Talmud Chacham plays a role over there? Stami sitting there in the Avlai Tzonis, but does an Ishkem is Suda?
Doesn't say the name of
Moshe. Doesn't say, does not mention, no. It says, means that's Lifnei Hu Alekim means Moshe.
No, no, where was Moshe?
He was also there. Oymen Mishamish Aleim, Rashi quotes in the Hazal. He was also Oymen Mishamish Aleim. But that's how the Chacham understand, because Moshe Rabbeinu was participating in the Suda actively, he was setting the whole tone for the whole Suda. So that definitely had a hashpah. So that's called Kilu Nena Mizivchi, Kilu Nena Miziv Ashchina. The pasuk says that Moshe Rabbeinu, the next day Moshe Rabbeinu was judging the people. Vayamad ha'om al Moshe min ha'boiker ad ha'erev. How could it be min ha'boiker ad ha'erev? Rashi quotes from the Gemara on Shabbos. Uchi yepshel, I'm okay. Moshe Rabbeinu was a big Talmud Chacham. So when is he learning? When he does Amapil, then he's gonna chazakol at Arku. Min ha'boiker ad ha'erev. How can it be? So it's an exaggeration. So what kind of a lashon is that? What kind of exaggeration? The Gemara says no. Elo loy malach. Rashi quotes in the Gemara. Different mamorim. Rashi quotes. Rashi blends together various mamorim. This is not all in one place. So one of the mamorim is that called Dayan Hadon Dinemes Lamitoi Nasa Kilo Nasa Shuta Plakodesh Bocha B'Maisa Bereisha Shenema Bay Vahiyere Vahivoke Yoyim Echo. That's the Melitza. What is this Melitza Min Abreka Arev? It doesn't mean, it means he spent a lot of time. He spent a lot of time on the Din Terev. But why use such an exaggeration? Min Abreka Arev? This is a biblical allusion. The Pasuk, and it's an allusion to the Pasuk in Bereishis. That it says when Hashem created the world, Vahiyere Vahivoke Kiseyre Vahiyere Vahivoke Vahiyere Vahivoke. So a dying who's done dinem islam mita and asa shuta fla kodesh baruch of the maise bereshit. What exactly does that mean? So the tour has its famous comment in the opening paragraph on Choshem Mishpat. It says that the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos al shlosha dvarim ha'olam kayam alo emes val adin val ha'sholon. Al shlosha dvarim ha'olam ha'amed means what is the tachlis of the world. So Torah Avarik Minus Chasan, that's the tachlis, that's the goal. But Al Shlosha Dvarim Ha'olam Kayam, in order that the world should last, in order that the world should exist, you have to have law and order. Al Emes Val Adin Val Hashalom. If you're not going to have Emes Din and Shalom, the whole world will collapse. And if they have the Emes and the Din and Shalom, then there's a purpose for this world. The Torah Avarik Minus Chasan. So Din is one of the three things that maintains the world, otherwise the whole world would collapse. So the Dain who's done Dinem is La Mitoi, is considered as if he's a Nasa Shutav LaKadosh Baruch Hu, B'maisa Bereishis, because these are the three things that keep the world going. The Em is the Din and the Shalom. Gotta work on all three. Em is Din and Shalom. What's the Lashon called? Dain Hadon Dinem is La Mitoi. Rashi quotes the Lashon from the Gemara. Dain Hadon Dinem is La Amitoi. What's the Kefa Lashon? So the Rishonim, some Rishonim say means Lapukei Pshara. Our Army Prague quotes it on this passage. Some say Lapukei Pshara. What's wrong with Pshara? Hadarana. Pshara is a great thing. Gemara has a Machlekes HaTanayim. One Tana holds that you're forbidden to make a Pshara. It's against the law. What kind of Pshara? One Tana says also Luftzayim. Over there, Be'erach Niyat Hashem, the one who praises the dying who makes a Pshara, is chiruf egiduf, it's improper. We don't accept that opinion. The Gemara has another opinion, mutal lefzoya, optional. If the dayan wants to, he can recommend to the baladinim that they should make a pshara, and if he doesn't want to, he can make a dinter. We don't accept that opinion either. We accept the third opinion, mitzvah lefzoya. It's mitzvah to make a pshara. So the way we assume la'alocha, the mitzvah lefzoya, so what's bir adarabah says? Not only is it not an adar, it's a mitzvah. So what's wrong with dayan hadon, what it means, dayan hadon dinem is la'mito is la'puke pshara? This means is it won't be Nasa Shutaf LaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Maisa Bereishis. I don't know exactly why not. Why not? There are three things. Al Emes Val Adin Val HaShalom. There are three things that maintain the world. So maybe it's Takanat Din, but it's Shalom. Shalom. The Gemara says Mishpat Shalom. So the Gemara says Mishpat Shalom refers to Pshara. So what's wrong is not a shutif HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'maisa b'resha has to be a shutif in din. It can be a shutif in emes and a din, a shutif in shalom also. It can be a shutif in any one of the three areas. I don't know exactly what those rishonim mean. Don din emes lamita. Some rishonim say lapuke pshar. I don't know. Other rishonim say differently. Taisus in Sanhedrin, the first parak talks about don din emes lamita means he doesn't just follow what it says on the books. So let's say this Baldin presents his case, he has his tainus, then the Nitva presents his tainus, and on the books it says that the, whatever he says this and he says this, the psaka is like that. But then the dain should scratch a little bit below the surface, try to ask questions, try to delve a little further, find out who's telling the truth, and find out the nuances of what he's saying. Don't just accept it at face value, and maybe try to trick someone into admitting that the case was not exactly the way he presented it. He didn't tell a lie, but he didn't tell the whole truth. So that's what Taisus interprets. Don din emes lamita, adon din emes means that he passed in the way it says in the book. Din emes lamita means even more than that. Even more than that, that it was really Ois Gahal. Asks Moshe Rabbeinu, what exactly are you doing here? So Moshe Rabbeinu says that he's doing three things. When he spends a lot of time with the people, he does this divided, his functions are divided into three parts. Number one, Kiyavo Elayham Lidrush Elokim. People ask me, Eitzis, whom to marry, what business to go into, which graduate school to go to, and so on. So he asks this, how do I know? So he gets an avuah from the Rabban Shalom. Number one, he gets nevuah. Number two, ki yelahem dova boy lai b'shafata dipidin shebeni re'eo ha'ava din teire. I'm passing din teire. Number three, v'haidai te ischuk yor elokim as teireiso. I'm giving lectures, I'm giving shiurim. I'm giving over the dinim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu asked me to give over. So Yisra says, my dear son of Allah, by toiva dova shata, he said, it's not right. Two of the three, you can't have any assistant for the nevuah. You can have an assistant navi. But they didn't start it yet. They give all kinds of honorary degrees. They give Doctor of Divinity. So far they haven't given honorary nevuahs. Either you have nevuah, you don't have nevuah. So he says, the nevuah you got to do yourself. They're giving the shiurim. Moshe Rabbeinu is a good malamed. He's not going to get anybody as good. But the dinei Torah, so you can have an assistant for that. So appoint some assistants. That's what he says. Atosh Mabekoli, listen to my yates. Appoint a couple of dayanim. Appoint a few dayanim, we show up to Asamu Haleis, and all the dayan Torah, they'll help you out. And then he says, Heye Yatolo Mul Hu Elohim, you do the nevuah. If people want an eitzah, whom they should marry, and what business they should go into, so they won't go to the other rabbanim, they'll go to you. The shiurim you'll give also. However, as far as the din Torah, so have the others assist you. That's what Rav Elbel pointed out. That's l'chor pashup shat in the psukim, that when Yisrael asked Moshe Rabbeinu, what are the different parts of your job? So he says he does three different things. So he says the two you have to do yourself, the nevuah with the shiurim you have to do, zartem, esachukim, and so on. But the dini Torah, that you can have other people take care of. Some of the dini Torah Moshe Rabbeinu had to do, and some of them the dayanim had to do. The dover ha-gadol yaviu elech, and the dover ha-katon yish betuhem. What's a dover ha-gadol? What's a dover ha-katon? Then the pasuk has another expression, dover ha-kasha yaviu elech. The difficult shadows, it's a different thing. But what's a dover ha-gadol, a dover ha-katon? So the Gemara says there is Moshe Rabbeinu had the status of a Sanhedrin Gedolah. Moshe Rabbeinu b'mokam ayin aleph koi. Dover ha-gadol means dvarav shel gadol. If you have a din Torah that involves the melech or the kain gadol, that will need ayin aleph. So that's what it means. A dover ha-gadol doesn't mean a big business deal where they're dealing with $1 million. No, $1 million deal you can pass him with a regular beznav shloisha. We once had a din Torah here in the yeshiva. There were two balabatim from New Jersey had a din Torah about some real estate in California. It was over $1 million, and they agreed to pshara. They agreed to a pshara, and the pshara was that one of them was entitled to the full million, over million and a quarter dollars, 100%. The other one was entitled to nothing. They shook hands and they walked away, and that was it. So that doesn't need a bezna gadol. That's not the Hadavar Hagadol doesn't mean when there's a lot of money. Dabar Hagadol means Dvar of Shel Gadol. That's how the Gemara understands. Dvar of Shel Gadol means either the Melech or the Kain Gadol. The Gemara has a shaila regarding Shorah Shel Kain Gadol Bekama. We have a din in Parshas Mishpatim. Next week said we have a din in Parshas Mishpatim. When you have a Shor Shaharagas Adam, so the Shor gets Misa. But the Bala Shor Noki, the Bala Shor doesn't have to make any payments. What if it's already a Shor Amuat Shaharagas Adam? It's already the fourth time that he killed an Adam. So then it says, Hashor Yisokel, the Gamba, all of you must. Not only does the Shor get Skila, the Bala Shor has to be punished also. If he's so negligent that he lets his animal already kill for the fourth time. What does it mean with Bala Shor? The Gamba, all of you must? You mean he killed the Bala Shor? So the Gemara says, no, it means the next pasuk. And Kofer Yushasol, it means that you make the Bala Shor pay Kofer. By a short time it says Bala Shor Noki, he doesn't even pay Chatzi Kofer, doesn't pay anything. A short time usually pays Chatzi Nezik, and a Shor Mord pays Nezik Shom. So one might have thought perhaps that a Shor Mord pays Kofer Sholem, and a short time the Bala Shor should pay Chatzi Kofer. So there is one Tana like that who holds that the Bala Shor pays Chatzi Kofer, a short time. So we don't pass on like that, we understand Pshat. Bala Shor Noki, Noki me Chatzi Kofi, does not have to pay Chatzi Kofi. And then the Pasuk says, if it's a Shor Amuot Shaharag, then it says, Hashor Yisokel v'gambol of Yumas, and it doesn't mean that. So if it doesn't mean that, why does it say that? The Gambol of Yumas of the Tanoi, the Mishnah, the first Daf in Sanhedrin says, it means it's a Melitza. What it means is, Hashor Yisokel, in order to give the Shor Skilo, it's written over there to indicate that you shouldn't think that giving the Shor Misa is a plain issue of Dini Maminus and it should be sufficient with a Dezen of Shloisha. The Shor is only worth $100. If you have a Din Torah worth $1.25 million, that's enough a Dezen of three. So, Kal V'chaim, if you want to kill a Shor that's only worth $100, that should zicha be enough a Dezen of three. So the Pasuk says, no, Hashor Yisok, the Gambol of Yumas, Kamisus Habalim, Kach Misus Hashor, Ma Misus Habalim, Mechav Gimel, A Mises Hashor B'chav Gimel, that to give Din in the Farshas to a Shor requires a Bezna B'chav Gimel. So the Gemara wants, the Gemara has a Shaila. What does that mean? Kemises HaBailam. Let's say it's a Shor Hefker Shaharag HaSadam. A Shor Hefker Shaharag HaSadam is also Chayv Nisan. Machlek Satanoi. Machlek Satanoi in the Mishnah, whether Shor Hefker Shaharag HaSadam is Chayv Nisan or not. Shor HaMidbar. Shor HaMidbar. It's a story about the Tzemach Tzedek. The Balabas was in the Beit Medrash and he was talking to the Balabatim and he asked them, where is the Mishnah that talks about an animal that knows how to talk? A speaking animal. So thought it was crazy, he kept on insisting, no, it's enough in the Mishnah. So they asked the Rebbe, where is there enough in the Mishnah? So the Rebbe was thinking, then he realized, Mustama the Balabas read the Mishnah wrong. Shor HaMidbar, probably thought that it says Shor HaMadaber. Sure enough, he was right. So they said the greatness of the Tzemach Tzedek was, and not only did he know what it said, he knew how the Balabatim would misread the Gemara also. Yeah. So there's a Machlokes HaTanaim, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanan, whether Shor Hefker, Shor Midbar, Shor HaMidbar, Shor Hargis Adam, whether it's Chayv Nisa. Rabbi Yehuda holds that it's not Chayv Nisa, that killing the Shor Shehemis Adam is a punishment to the Bala Shor. But if there's no Bala Shor, then you don't make any punishment. And we assume not so, that it's a punishment to the Shor itself. It's a punishment to the Shor. That the Shor has enough Bechira Chavshis to understand that he shouldn't kill a human being. That's the Machlokes, the Ramban and the Rambam, and Parshas Mishpatim. The Rambam says in the Mor Nebuchim that Hashor Yisokel is a punishment to the Bala Shor. The Ramban Achumish quotes the Mor Nebuchim, and he says it's against the Mishnah. That's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. We don't pass on like that. We pass on that Hashor Hefker Shaharag is also Chayv Misa. So you see that it's a punishment to the Shor. And that the Shor does have enough seichel to understand that it shouldn't kill a human being. So if you have a Shor Hefker, Shaharagas Adam, they say, Kinesis, the Gamba or Love, you must. So you can't say Gamba or Love, you must. Ain't no Bailam. So what is it? So what is it? Kinesis HaBailam Kachnis HaShor. So the Shor Hefker Shaharag is enough a dozen of three? No. Also needs 23. So it's not to be taken literally, Gamba or Love, you must. Kinesis HaBailam Kachnis HaShor. The same way you would want to kill the Bala Shor. Even need 23 doesn't have a Bala Shor. This love dafke means like killing a human being. So what if it's the following case? What if it's a Shor Shel Kain Gadol? Shaharagas Adam, to be done in Kain Gadol, you got to have a Bezen of 71. So what would you say over here? Kamisus HaBailim, Gamba Olav Yumas, we just established, is not to be taken literally, but Olav. It just means, Kamisus Bnei Adam, Kachmisa Shor, so even Shor Shel Kain Gadol would be sufficient with a Bezen of 23. Well, maybe you should say no. When there's no Baal HaShor, then you say you need 23. When there is a Baal HaShor and the Baal HaShor needs more than 23, then maybe you need 71 to kill the Shor also. So the Gemara has this Chakir. The Gemara has the Ibai. What's the law? HaShor HaShikain Golo Bekamo. So the Gemara says no. Adavra Godl Yaviu Eilech Advar Shal Godl, that's only Dinin Nefashis for the Melech of the Kain Golo. If you're Dani Dinin Nefashis for the Shor of the Kain Golo, that's Adavra Kod. We can't get too carried away over here. You can't say giving the Dinin Nefashis to the... Wait a minute. I think the Maskon is Fakir. I think the din is like that you do need 71. Think the Gemara, anybody remember? I think the Gemara says you do need 71 for the Shorash al Kangaroo. The Gemara says you do. You do. If it's a Shorash al Hefker, then it just means that Kinesa has been a Yodam. And if it's a Shorash al Kangaroo, I think the Maskan is that you do need 71. Got to look in the Gemara towards the end of the first Perik in Sanhedrin. I think the Maskan is that you do need 71. Gotta take a look. Should be around Tezayin or so. In the Gemara, it's an Ibad Lev Shita. Boy Rab Loza. It's an Ibad Lev Shita, Tezayin and Menal. I think there's a Tosefta that says like that. Tosefta says that, that you do need the 7 months. So that's the halacha of the Dover HaGodli Aviyu Eilecho. The Gemara understands this in Tezayinim and Alef and Sanhedrin. This refers to the Dvar of Shel Godel, that there are certain cases that require a Bezna Godel. Moshe Rabbeinu had the status of Bezna Godel. That's how the Gemara understands. Moshe Rabbeinu had the status of Bezna Godel even now. Way before he was told the din, Esfel Yeshivim Yisha Sheyadai Tikeim Ziknei Ha'am Neshoitra from Parshas Bahaloyska, Alfi Pashtas. When he established, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu established the institution of Sanhedrin Gdolah. The Pashtus says he always had a din of Sanhedrin Gdolah. Other rabbis, some want to say that from that time on, when the Sanhedrin Gdolah was established, Moshe Rabbeinu no longer had a din of Bezna Gdolah. Moshe Rabbeinu, Memachem Ayin Aleph Koi, was only up until it caused mind that there was no other Bezna Gdolah. But from that time on, then not. What prompts them to say that? A difficult Rambam. That's a... The quote from Rav Elvelep, he's not sure about that. The difficult Rambam in the beginning of Hilchos Malachim, that the Rambam says, "Eim imani melech el al pi bezna shal shivim v'yechod, ki Yeshua sheminehu Moshe u beiz dinoi." That when you appoint a melech, the appointment has to be done, it's a Tosefta in Sanhedrin that the Rambam quotes, when you appoint a melech, the appointment has to be done by the Sanhedrin Gdolah, like Yeshua ben Nun had the din of a melech. That's what we learn at the din of Merib Malchus Chai Misa from Yeshua ben Nun. Kalisha Shamar Spicha Lo Yichya, the pasuk in the beginning of Yeshua, because he had the din like a melech, and Yeshua was appointed by Moshe Ubeis Dinoi. So they say that Rav Elvelep was bothered with the kasha. Why does it say Ki Yeshua? The Rambam writes Sheminehu Moshe Ubeis Dinoi. Moshe Rabbeinu was already Moshe Rabbeinu. Mokamayin Aleph Koy. The Gemara says Moshe Rabbeinu had the din of Sanhedrin Gdolah. So what did he need Beis Dinoi for? Unless perhaps you'll say that Yeshua was appointed after the Sanhedrin Gdolah was already established, so maybe that special status that Moshe Rabbeinu had, Moshe Rabbeinu Mamakamayin Aleph Koy, maybe that was only up until the time that Bezna Gdolah was established. From that time on, Moshe Rabbeinu no longer had that special status. Then Rav Elvelep Pilpas, whether this is correct or not. I remember Rav Soloveitchik gave a different suggestion on this Rambam. He said, maybe it's not halacha that you need Sanhedrin. What's the halacha if you have two Sanhedrins? A funny case. You have two Sanhedrin Gdolahs. Normally you don't have it. What if you have two Sanhedrin Gdolahs? Would the halacha say it's sufficient if this melech is appointed by one of the Sanhedrins? Or do you say no? It's not a positive halacha that a melech needs the appointment of a Sanhedrin Gdolah. If there is a Sanhedrin Gdolah and they didn't approve the appointment, so then the appointment is not valid. So if you live in a generation when you have two Sanhedrin Gdolahs, so then the appointment won't be valid unless you have the approval of the both Sanhedrin Gdolahs. So where's the Echatim you have to? After Moshe Rabbeinu appointed the Sanhedrin Gdolahs, so Moshe Rabbeinu maintained the status of Moshe Rabbeinu Mamakamayin Aleph Koi, so you have two Sanhedrin Gdolahs. So maybe that's the pshat in the Rambam. Ki Yeshua, Im Imanu Melech Alfi Bezna, Shal Shim Yechad Ki Yeshua, Shimineu Moshe Beis Dino, that the approval of the two Sanhedrin was required. They needed the approval both of Moshe Rabbeinu and of the Sanhedrin Gdolah. Possibility. That's what Rav Soloveitchik really to get such an idea from the Rambam and the Sefer HaMitzvos. The Rambam's opinion is that Kiddush HaKodesh and Ibra Hashona, Kviyas Aluah, has to be taken care of by the Bez Nagol. It doesn't mean that they have to do the Kiddush HaKodesh, but they have to appoint the Bezna of Shloisha that's going to take care of the Kiddush HaKodesh. That's what the Rambam writes. And then the Rambam quotes the Gemara that the Kiddush HaKodesh al-Pi Hariya existed till the days of Abai Verova. Abai Verova lived in Bavel, and in Eretz Yisrael they were still doing Kiddush HaKodesh al-Pi Hariya till the days of Abai Verova, and then they established the Luach as we have it now. That's, and today, how do we have Kiddush HaKodesh today? So the Rambam has a whole dissertation, a whole theory. And the Rambam disagrees with that theory also. So the Rambanius, what is he talking about? After the Churban Bayis Sheni, there was no Sanhedrin anymore. The Gemara learns that from Sukkim Ulam Shamachim Gorim. The Kamta Be'alisa Ramachim, that the Sanhedrin Gdola only has their special status as Sanhedrin Gdola when they're meeting in the Lishka Sagazis. But if they meet anywhere other than the Lishka Sagazis, so there is no special status, there's no unique status of Sanhedrin Gdola. The Gemara even says that 40 years before the destruction of the Second Temple, and the year 30, Bayis Sheni was destroyed in the year 70 around, so 40 years before that, the Gauls of Sanhedrin, they left the Lishka Sagozis, and no longer had the status of Sanhedrin Gdola. So how can the Rambam claim that Kiddush HaKodesh can only be done by a Bezna that was appointed by the Bezna Gadol, either by the Bezna Gadol or by Bezna Shloish appointed by the Bezna Gadol? So what's the Bezna Gadol? They are Babai, they're over here. What kind of Bezna Gadol? That's the Rambam's kash. So the Mefarshim answer that the Rambam obviously holds not like that. The Rambam holds that Alochem Alam and Shamachim Gorim doesn't mean to say that there's no Din Bez Nagorl at all. No, there's Benegiat Zochem Mamre, Benegiat to be done Din in the Fashis, there's no Din Bez Nagorl. But basically the Bez Nagorl still continued to exist until the days of Abai Verova. Where were they? They were floating around Eretz Yisrael in different communities, wherever they were. But there was an institution of Bez Nagorl. Even in the days of Abai Verova, it existed in Eretz Yisrael. So the Ramban disagrees with the whole Ram. So what does he do with the Braisa that the Ramon quotes on? The Ramon quotes on the Chilta that Kiddush HaKodesh is supposed to be taken care of by the Bez Nagol. Ramban says, no, that means a different thing. Any Bez Nagol Shloisha can take care of Kiddush HaKodesh. But if you live in a time where there is a Bez Nagol, who are you? Me, Samchel, who? Any three Smuchim, they're going to get together, going to decide, today's Rosh Chodesh and today's Rosh Hashanah. And what does the chief rabbi have to say? Who cares what the chief rabbi says? Come make Shabbos Mazir. Ramban says you can't do that. If you live in a generation where there is no Bez Nagol, so then you cannot do the Kiddush HaKodesh without the approval of the Bez Nagol. But there is no Bez Nagol. So the halacha doesn't require the Ikuv. You don't need a Bez Nagol. It's just that you have a Bez Nagol, you can't do without it. So that's what led Rav Soloveitchik to raise such a possibility. According to the Ramban, far-fetched. What if you would live in a generation where there are two Bez Nagols? There is no two Bez Nagols. Supreme Court, by definition, means the Supreme Court. So if you live in a generation where there are two, so then the Ramban, who holds that you never need Bez Nagol at all for Kiddush HaKodesh, but if there are two, then the Ramban would say you got to have the approval of both. So that's what led him to his suggestion on the Rambam, to say in the Rambam, Ki Yoshua Sheminei Moshe Beis Dino, there were two Bez Nagols. Moshe Abdeinu had a Dino of Mokamayin Aleph Koi, and the Bez Nagol was the Bez Nagol, so perhaps you would need the approval of both. The reason why I belabor this is because some make a suggestion for Kirk, which I think is 100% wrong. Maybe Moshe Rabbeinu only had the status of Ayin Aleph after Parshas Bahaloischa, when the institution of Bez Nagol was Nischadish. But up until Parshas Bahaloischa, maybe there was no halacha that Moshe Rabbeinu b'mokam Ayin Aleph Koi. This is against all the Gemara's drashes. The Gemara learns that from this pasuk. That to be ain't done him as a shaved, ain't done him as a melech, ain't done him as a kangaroo, a lot of business, shall shiv yechot, even shore shall kangaroo need shiv yechot. The Gemara says, since they had to come to Moshe Rabbeinu, that's a raya, they needed Bez Nagol because Moshe Rabbeinu, but Mokam Ayin Aleph Koi. So this is way before the appointment of the Sanhedrin. And still the Gemara assumes that he had the status of Bez Nagol. So I want to say this in order to farem for the following kasha. There are midrashim, a few midrashim comment on the pasuk. When Yisro asked Moshe Rabbeinu, what are you doing? So he says, Vishaf, says all the various things that he does all day long, his schedule. Vishafatati beinish uvein reyehu. So the Yalkut Shemayni and the Psikta and a few midrashim write, Beinish is one kind of din Torah, Uvein Reyehu is another kind of din Torah. Ben Reyehu is a din Torah where they're both friendly. Reyim Zelazer. that must be a din Torah pshara. Beinish, pasha pshat beinish ben yehu is all one expression. So the Medrash breaks it down to its component parts. V'shafatati, I sometimes make a din Torah of din, and I sometimes make a din Torah of pshara. V'shafatati ben ish, that's a din, zeh hadin. V'ein reyehu is u apshara. Okay, shak. So this Medrash assumes, this Yalkut Shemoni assumes, that Moshe Rabbeinu once in a while made pshara, once in a while made din. And this is in contradiction to the Gemara in the first Perek in Sanhedrin. When the Gemara has on Davov the whole sugya of pshara, the three opinions, and one time it says that it's prohibited for the dayan to suggest the pshara, because it's against the din. You have to follow what it says in the Parsha Mishpat. The other time it says it's permissible, but it's not obligatory. And the third time it says, no, it's a mitzvah to make a pshara, because it'll be a better psak. The people will be a mishpat shalom. So in the middle of the discussion on making pshara, so the Gemara says, Aaron HaKohen always tried to make pshara. Moshe Rabbeinu never made any pshara. So the Gemara throws in such an expression. So there it says in the Gemara, Moshe Rabbeinu never made any pshara, and here the Medrash says that Ben Reyeh, that Moshe Rabbeinu also made pshara. Sakasha. So the Poshet, the answer is that it's a machlekes. They're two different traditions. The Gemara presents one view that Moshe Rabbeinu never made pshara, and Davrovim and Aleph, and this Medrash is saying Moshe Rabbeinu also made pshara. So one of the Svarim writes on Parshas Yisro that this is the teretz. He thinks this is a teretz. When the Gemara says Sanhedrin Davrov, Moshe Rabbeinu never made pshara, that's only after Moshe Rabbeinu was given the special status Moshe Rabbeinu Mamokam Ayin Aleph Koy. That only began from Parshas Bahaloscha that didn't exist yet over here. And why did it begin from Parshas Bahaloscha? Once there was an ocean of Bez Nagodol, then Moshe Rabbeinu was given the title that he has a status like the whole Bez Nagodol. Bez Nagodol is not authorized to make a pshara. Let's say you go to the Supreme Court. You have a case, you go to the Supreme Court. Supreme Court paskins abstract shaylos. They're supposed to go down in history that they have knockout psukim. So you're not going to make up pshara. When you go to a local judge, so he's going to say, what, I'm going to go into the nitty gritty details, he owes him $20,565.88. $15,000. $14,000 of pasuk. That's it. He makes up pshara. He doesn't have time to sit and listen to all the details. But the Supreme Court, Aswarat, I don't know what the din is in Din Machusa here, but that's what this Mechaber writes, Aswarat, that the Bez Nagodol doesn't make sense that they should lend themselves to make any pshara. So people ever came to Moshe Rabbeinu for a din Torah after he was endowed with the status of Ayin Aleph, so then he can never make a pshara, and that's the Gemara in Sanhedrin. And here the Medrash is saying before he was given that status. So I think if this, the Pashtus is that the Teretz is not correct. Pashtus is that we assume Moshe Rabbeinu certainly did have the status of Ayin Aleph before Hamorah Asa Sanhedrin, for sure he had. The whole Tilpah of Elbalad was the reverse. Maybe after Esfili Shivimish, maybe he lost that special status. Maybe he was given over to the Bez Nagodol, he no longer had the special din of Ayin Aleph. But until then, we assume he certainly did have the status. Usually it's assumed that the reason why the Gemara says in Sanhedrin that Moshe Rabbeinu never made a pshara is not such a halachic tam, because he had Moshe Rabbeinu b'makom ayin aleph koy, and the Sanhedrin Gedolah has no right to make a pshara. They have to give a hayruah and a psak al pi halacha. It's usually assumed to be a different reason why, because the Gemara says there on that daf, even according to the Tanaim who hold that it's a mutah to make a pshara, or the Tanaim hold that it's a mitzvah to make a pshara. But still, the Gemara says that's only, it's mutar or a mitzvah for the bezin to recommend that the Baladinim should enter into a pshara. That's only ashati yadei lahechan adin noite. Calls man that the dayan does know yet which direction the din really should be. A lot of times you have a din Torah, so when you first hear the case, you say right away, I think that you're right. But then when you listen, it turns out that the other guy is 100% right and this guy is wrong, totally wrong. Maybe common sense dictates that he should be right, but after thinking about it later, it's going to turn out that he's totally wrong. Or a lot of times you're not sure which way it's going to go. He's presenting. You didn't hear the whole case, you didn't hear all the aid, and you didn't see all the evidence, the documents, whatever. So you don't know yet, then you recommend, do a pshar. But if you already know, I know it's going to be in this direction. I don't know whether it's going to be $18,000 or $22,055, or it's going to be $8,000, whatever. I don't know the exact detail of the amount, but I know he's going to be winning an awful lot of money. So Nishati Adel Hechan Adinaita, then Allah says it's also Lefasha. It's also for the Bezin to recommend the Pshar, because they're just fooling the Baladinim. They know that he's really entitled to the money, and they're not allowed to cheat him. So the Belt says that that's the reason why the Gemara says that Moshe Rabbeinu never did a pshar. Because when you come to another bezdin, so they don't know the choshe mishpat by heart. So you tell me the case, so I gotta start thinking, and think a second time, a third time, and I have to ask 30 people, what do you think the din should be? You have any marmakamis, and you ask businessmen, and you ask lawyers, and you ask judges, how are you possible such case? You ask a lot of people until you have a bichab as does, then you come with a psa. Moshe Rabbeinu was a super genius, so the minute that they presented the case, he knew right away the din is that this guy's chayav $18,000, $555.85. That's it, exactly. So what shach by Moshe Rabbeinu to make a pshat? That's usually the way the Velt says pshat in the Gemara. Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't in a position that he could possibly ever make a pshat, because when the Bava Dina would come to present the case for him, once they would present the tainus, if they didn't yet present the tainus, he could make a pshat. He could suggest, oh, you have it in Torah, just a minute, would you like to accept the pshat? But once they would present the tainus, it would already be too late for him to recommend that they should have a pshat. Because it would always be a pchina pati yedei lehechad adinai. So if that's the way the Velt says pshat in Gemara, so then it doesn't make a difference whether he had a status of ayin alav, he didn't have a status. Pshat yedei lehechad adinai, so it's not shaykh to make a pshat. Yeah, that's the machlokes in Satanai, whether Moshe Rabbeinu was part of the... Does Bezna Gadol have to have 71 members and Moshe Rabbeinu was the 71st, or are they 70 and he's separate? Yeah. So we passed from there 71 and he was one of them. But they couldn't function without him as the Bezna Gadol. The question is, does he still maintain his previous status that he can function without them as the Bezna Gadol? So that's what Avdavala was masiltik about. Maybe after the appointment of the Shivim Skenim, that maybe he lost his status of the Makamayin Alephoi. But the Pashto says that he certainly had that status prior to Baha'u'llah Islam. For sure he had that status.
Doesn't the Gadol of Shaver
appoint
a
Malach
also?
Appoint a Malach over that
Shaver?
I don't know.
They have status of Bessin HaGadol, and what do you do Bessin HaGadol? You have to be 71, you have to be like the greatest Bessin.
Don't know. Then the Pasuk says later, V'shafta samcha leisus hadavah hakashe versus hadavah hakatan. First it says hadavah hagadol, hadavah hakatan. Then it says a difficult case is how to present to Moshe Rabbeinu. That's the din like a bezna gadol. Ki yirid ben anashim, how does it say? Ki palamim chadavah la mishpat, if there'll be a shayla that the rabbanim cannot be machriya, then you go ask the bezna gadol. That's Pasuk Chavrov. Hadavah hakashe yivin al Moshe, the difficult din. But the earlier pasuk that contrasts between Adava HaGadol and Adava HaKotan, that the Gemara says means a different thing. What does it mean, Meshavta Sam, the Chaleis, all day and all night? The Gemara discusses that. What do you mean, Chaleis? It's not true. You can only have a Din Torah by Yom, you can't have a Din Torah by Laila. So the Gemara says, although there's no Bezin by Laila, but if the Tchilas Yeshiva's Bezin was by Yom, then Donim by Laila. Donim by Yom, the Gomim by Laila. You can continue the Din Torah by Laila. And that's the mashmos of the pasuk, v'shaftu osam b'chol eis, by day and by night. If the din Torah began by Yom, that's how the Gemara says in Sanhedrin. If the din Torah began by Yom, then you can continue into the night. Rashi comments on the pasuk, v'yichan sham yisrael neged ha-hor. Rashi says the word neged has the connotation of panim le-mizrach. They were facing east. First Rashi, it's a tricky Rashi. Neged ha-har, Rashi quotes the Mechilta le-Mizrachai. What do you mean le-Mizrachai? The Pasha Pshat in the Mechilta means that here's Har Sinai. And then Reisol is standing to the east of Har Sinai. So Rashi says that's not, Rashi's reinterpreting the Mechilta, he said that's not what it means. Whenever it says Neged, it means you have your face towards the east. So Neged ha-har means that they were facing east. They were facing east and they were facing the mountains. So they were really to the west of the mountains. Rashi took a Mechilta. It's the day pshat, just the opposite. Le Mizrachai. But then he says, that's what it says in the Mechilta. So Rashi's interpreting. Kalmakam shat amartin neged means panam le Mizrach. He said they're facing they're facing east, so the Har Sinai was to their east, it wasn't to their west. And ganz in a different shot. That's how the Cheskuni points out, that Rashi is reinterpreting the Mechilta, so it means just the opposite. And then he pops Rashi over the head and he says it's not true. He has a few kashas from Sukkim in Tanakh that they komokim shenema neged. Whenever it says neged, it does komokim shatamotim neged does not always mean facing east. And if we quote the pasuk by the Masoris, it says they were all facing neged oil moed. Everybody was facing east. They were all facing oil moed. He has quite a few kashas. He doesn't understand this Rashi. Whatever it is, they were preparing for Maimon Har Sinai. So Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu he has to give a message for some of the Beis Yaakov, the Sagil of Israel. Rashi quotes from the Mechilta, Beis Yaakov are the women, Elu Anoshim, and Bnei Yisrael are the men. And what does he tell everybody? Atem Tiyulim Amlechas Kohanim Egoi Kodosh. He's going to give a special Kedushas Yisrael to the Jewish people as a nation. Special Kedushas Yisrael. The simple Mashmois of the Pasuk implies, that's how Rav Moshe Feinstein points out, and this truth is, in Igros Moshe, the simple mashmas implies that the men and the women have the same level of Kedushas Yisrael, even though the whole concept of Kedushas Yisrael means Kedushana b'mitzvoysa v'tzivano. Kedushas Yisrael means that it obligates one to perform a mitzvah. Whenever there's a concept of Kedusha, it means it's Nageh l'alocha, you have Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. It's Mechai v'mitzvah satu izbar, it's Kedushas ha-migdosh. You have the ability to be makruv korbanos, Kedushas kunah. He can eat truma, he can eat makruv karbanos and so on, he can eat chatos. Whenever you speak of kedusha, it means kedushana b'mitzvos of tzivana. There's no kedusha arti lois. There's no abstract concept of holiness. The Goyim have books about this. What does the concept of holiness mean? But we know what the concept is. Kedushana b'mitzvos of tzivana, that's what it means. But something as kedusha means that you're mechuyev in mitzvos. So even though the women are not mechuyev in the same level of mitzvos as the men, they're exempt from a whole list of mitzvos eses shazman grama. But nonetheless, we assume that the level of Kedusha is the same. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them both, for some of the Meshach and the Sagal and Esau, Atem Tiyulim Amlechus Koinim Egoi Kodesh. Everybody has the same level of Kedusha. It says, Taka Akasha, how can the women be exempt from the mitzvah? If Kedusha means Kedushan and Mitzvah Zivanu, is Achvai Teshver, how can the women be exempt from Mitzvah Zesah Shazman Grama, if they have the same level of Kedusha, they should be cleaving the same mitzvah? The answer is Zenachinam, they are cleaving the mitzvahs, but they have an exemption that it is. That's why the Rabbein and Tam says they can say the Birchas HaMitzvah. How can they say it's mamash not true? Kiddushanu b'mitzvos v'tzivanu, so the answer it is true. Kiddushanu b'mitzvos v'tzivanu anotilo flulub. They have the same level of Kedushas Yisrael as the men. And as such, they take become nitztave to Ben Shesrig and the Sukkah and so on, except that they have an exemption. If they don't want to, they don't have to. But it's, so that part they don't have to mention in the bracha. But every word of the bracha that they say is true. The other Rishonim say that they can't say a bracha because it's not true. What do you mean, Kedushan says Torah? It's not true. But in essence, they agree to what the Rabbein and Tam holds. In essence, in principle, they agree to this, that the women have the same level of Kedusha as the men. And that level of Kedusha is what's mechayv in mitzvahs. And they weren't mechayv on these mitzvahs. The only thing is that they have a ptur, they have an exemption. If they don't want to, they don't have to. Not the same as a nochri. Let's say a goy wants to volunteer to sit in sukkah. Such a Yiddish expression. Let's say a guy wants to sit in the sukkah. So the Rambam writes, isn't the hate? He'll get reward like an enemy silver v'yosa. That's how the Rambam writes. The Rambam even sounds like he says in Hilchas Malachim, the simple reading of the Rambam, if a guy wants to volunteer any mitzvah, he'll get reward like enemy silver v'yosa, even mitzvahs milo. Mitzvahs milo is the ois bris kodesh, the ois of the bris between our kodesh baruch and esau. So what track that a guy should volunteer milo? So that is why others would prefer to reinterpret that Rambam. Others have reinterpreted that Rambam, but Rav Soloveitchik didn't like, he reinterpreted it. Moshe Feinstein reinterpreted it, but the simple reading in the Rambam, and doesn't say that. And the Rambam in the Tshuva says, the Feirish Natos, the Rav Moshe says, the Rav also said, we're not so convinced that Tshuva is authentic. All of a sudden, had that Tshuva. Because they were so convinced that it doesn't make sense. How can you say a goy can volunteer to perform mitzvahs mitzvah? Alright, Pasher Rambam, a strange Rambam. But let's say if a goy volunteers to fulfill a mitzvah, that's not the same as an isha. An isha volunteering, the Mishnah says like that it's not the same. The Mishnah speaks about machtas ha-shekel. Women are not obligated to give machtas ha-shekel, and goyim are not obligated to give machtas ha-shekel, but there's a difference. A goy is not obligated, then the Mishnah says in Shkolim, he can't even accept it if he volunteers it on his own. Because machtas ha-shekel is not bob and edu and edover. But a woman who's not obligated to give machzor shekel, the Gemara, the Mishnah says if a woman wants to volunteer to give, so he will accept. The Gemara just says in Bav Metzia, Bavad Shim Sirena Yofa Yofa. They should give it over l'shem mitzvah machzor shekel. It's not a machzor shekel. Pushke cannot accept any donation. They only accept machzor shekel. So a guy wants to put in, instead of machzor shekel, will put in $1 million bill, if there is such a thing. He'll put in extra. It says Hashem lo yarbe. No one is allowed to give more than anybody else. You only give what you mechuyev to give. So if the women want to volunteer, you can't volunteer to put in a $1,000 bill, $1 million bill. They can only give the same amount that everybody else gives. A goy can't even give that. A goy has no shaychus ben machzor shekel. All the other taryag mitzvahs he can volunteer with Torah Sein and Tzuviyos, and machzor shekel is not brought ben edim and adover. The Mishnah says like a chatas and an osham cannot be brought ben edim and adover. So a goy can never volunteer chatas or osham. So he cannot volunteer Matzah Shekel. This is the Mishnah in Shkolim. But a woman can volunteer Matzah Shekel. Why? Because it's different. The woman has the same kedusha as the man. It's Kirishana b'mitzvah Yisov uftaranu. She has an exemption. But if she doesn't want to utilize the exemption and she volunteers to do the mitzvah, then it's different. It's an ena mitzvah v'yoseh. She doesn't want to utilize her exemption. It's not the same as the nachu that is mamash ena mitzvah v'yoseh yesh meyai. So that's not called ben edim and adov.
I don't understand what the Dov said about that nachu. And while the mitzvah of Torah, not as West by Israel, they did now Europe, we know that the people of Nektor and even now the nation are also. So
Rambam Shita, yeah, the Rambam Shita, it's also between the Nilo, the Nektura, and our Mila. Maybe some differences in Allah. So probably it makes sense to say they can volunteer a Mila like the Nektura. But it doesn't make sense to say that they're going to volunteer a Nilo, the Nektura, that's representative of a Krisis Bris. If there's no Bris, there's no Bris. Yeah, okay, good, that's a good point. Yeah.
I do
as
well
see
morale in the Levi that Israel doesn't have elements of spirituality, to show besides.
The stomach has to be interconnected. It's interrelated. Yeah. It's a different part of the Bria. That's how the Rabbi Yehuda Levi writes. It's Dermen Samea Chaim Medaber and Bnei Yisrael. A separate part of the Bria. But that has to do with the mitzvahs also in the stomach. You have to assume that has to do. Say that they're excited, they want to accept all of the mitzvahs, kol ha-shadiv ha-shem na'aseh. And then Moshe Rabbeinu delivers this message to the Ribbono Shel'Olam that the Jewish people are accepting the Torah. And then it says later, v'yisatzu b'sach tisahar, on Pasuk Yud Zayin, Perek Yud Tes. And Rashi quotes the comment from the Gemara in Shabbos, melam shikof aleim har kegigis. The Tosfos on the Daf and Shabbos Peches is bothered with the kasha. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu force the Torah Bnei Yisrael? If they said Kol say that they're excited, they want to accept all of the mitzvahs, kol ha-shadiv ha-shem na'aseh. And then Moshe Rabbeinu delivers this message to the Ribbono Shel'Olam that the Jewish people are accepting the Torah. And then it says later, v'yisatzu b'sach tisahar, on Pasuk Yud Zayin, Perek Yud Tes. And Rashi quotes the comment from the Gemara in Shabbos, melam shikof aleim har kegigis. The Tosfos on the Daf and Shabbos Peches is bothered with the kasha. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu force the Torah Bnei Yisrael? If they said Kol HaShadiv HaShem Na'aseh, if they accepted it Beratzon, why did they have to force the Torah upon Bnei Yisrael? So the Maharal Prague has a famous comment on this. He quotes a Medrash that he says should not be taken literally, and then he interprets it. The Medrash says that there's a din by Oynis and Mefata Moitzi Shema, there's a din by Yanis Losi Eli Yisrael. So the Ribbono Shel'Olam was ma'anis us. He attacked us. The Ribbono Shel'Olam forced the Torah upon us. If it would have been just we both agreed to get married, both agreed to get married, so the husband has the right to divorce his wife. But because the Ribbono Shel'Olam was ma'anis b'nei Yisrael, so that's why there's a din. The Ribbono Shel'Olam is stuck. that he can't trade us in for any other nation. That's what Bechiras Yisrael means. Bechiras Yisrael means that he chose this people to the exclusion of all other peoples, and it's going to be a Bechira Elamis, and he's never going to trade us in. That's what the Medrash says. And Rami Prak says it should not be taken literally. What do you mean? The Rabban Shalom is bound by the laws of the Torah of Aynes and Mephata, Maitse Shema, the Torah. This doesn't apply to the Rabban Shalom. But he says what it means is the following. That I remember when I was a student here in the college, we had a certain professor who thought that he understood Jewish philosophy and Jewish history and halacha and everything. So he used to, one of his standard drushes that he gave every year was, which is the most important mitzvah in the Torah? Who knows what he's going to say? So he says, Moitzos Vasecha Tishma. What's that is? So he says, Pashut, because why is anyone obligated to keep any mitzvahs? Because we are mekabel, a neder. Everybody took a neder that we're gonna keep all the mitzvahs HaTorah. When every child becomes bar mitzvah, he accepts upon himself, he pledges to keep the laws of the Torah. And if the kid doesn't pledge to keep the laws of the Torah, he's not obligated to keep the laws. And that's why the Torah, that's why the Talmud tells us, this is the oldest professor, he's already a Sheikh in Offa, not alive anymore. So he said that, that's why the Talmud has a din, that minig oikir halacha. So he gave a mashal, minig oikir halacha. What does it mean? So he gave a mashal. It says in the Chumash that you're not allowed to cook, there's a din, you're not allowed to cook any food on Shabbos. And still everybody has cholent, everybody leaves a blech and they have cholent. So what is that all about? The answer is, minig oikir halacha. Don't ask any questions. So why is it that we're all mechal Shabbos? Why is it mutter? The answer is because when we all became bar mitzvah, we accepted upon ourselves to observe the dinim as our parents observe it. Whatever we didn't accept, we didn't accept. So we didn't accept that din that you're not allowed to cook on Shabbos. We're allowed to cook on Shabbos as long as we do it the way the minig is. That's the main mitzvah as much as sechah tishma. So needless to say, it's all wrong from the beginning to the end. When you leave food on the fire on Erev Shabbos, you're not a violation of cooking it on Shabbos. That's the Nemuki Yosef's kasha in Bava Kama. Nemuki Yosef has that kasha. If you hold Isha Mishum Chitzov, so whatever Melachi is set up on Erev Shabbos and it continues to function on Shabbos, so why don't I say the guy's a Mechal on Shabbos? That was a Havamina. Balabatim have an attitude, they like a lot of times Havaminas of the Gemara. But the Hasidim, they don't say Tachnun a week before and a week after Purim, because the Gemara had a Havamina that maybe Purim should be celebrated this day, that day, and Kenesh HaMech, Avek Machar, a Havamina for the Gemara so easily. So that was a Havamina for the Nemuki Yosef, that if you set up a Melachi Erev Shabbos, really prohibited. It is not correct, that's not so. It's not. And the blech is a different thing. The blech is not a mini, it's based on a Mishnah. The Mishnah Masecha Shabbos, those who learn Shabbos will understand what it's all about. This is the din of Shehi, it's awesome. The Rabbani have Gufa Ktumah, it's Mutah, it has nothing to do with Mini Gai Kaloch. Mini Gai Kaloch applies in Dini Mamanis, it doesn't apply in Yisrael Hef, it doesn't apply to Hilchah Shabbos. And the obligation that people have to observe mitzvahs is not because they accepted it upon themselves. If you understand what this Balabas said, then you'll understand the greatness of what the Marami Prak said. Marami Prak said, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have not forced the Torah on the Jewish people, we would have walked around with that attitude. Why are we obligated to keep the mitzvahs? Because we obligated ourselves. We accepted it upon ourselves. Let's say I need a person and I become friendly and I decide to obligate myself to give him money and I sign a contract. I'm going to give you a yeshiva, whatever. I'm going to give you so much money. So what obligates me? My obligation is mechayiv me. So one might have made such a mistaken impression. Why are we obligated to keep the Torah? Because we promised, because we said, Nasim and Ishma, because we were meshabbat ourselves. So the Naomi Pak says, no, that's not why we're obligated to keep the mitzvahs, because we obligate, because our Kodesh Boch, Kiddushonim and Mitzvahs of Vitzivonu, because one word, Vitzivonu, Vaitzav Hashem Elokim Al Adam, Vaitzav, and we are obligated to keep mitzvahs because Vitzivonu, not because Ischayavnu. What's Nasib and Ishmael and I'm not Maisa. What, the Rabbanu Shalom is going to be Mechayev people, mitzvahs? They have no shaykhs with it. The Rabbanu Shalom went, the way the Medrash says, the Rabbanu Shalom went to visit all the Ummah Zolim to see if anybody's interested in the Torah. And he saw that each nation is not cut out to keep the Torah. These people are murderers, and these people are menafim, and these people are full of chemdo. They won't be able to withstand Lois Sachman and so on. Then he saw the Jewish people, he saw more or less they're cut out for the Torah, and they said, Nasib and Ishma, we'll be happy to accept it. Then he said, oh, these people are cut out for it. Not that Nasib and Ishma is the contract that's legally binding the Jewish people. Nasib and Ishma means a display of interest, and the Baruch Shalom saw it's a good shidduch, it's going to work out, and then he said, okay, it's Ivanu, kaf alayim harkigigis, the obligation to keep mitzvahs is not because of his chaybus midas, but rather it's a shibud from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's our Blazer Shach also has a... There's a thesis in Sanhedrin and Daf Samachesim and Beis, a very big thesis. The first Daf in Perek and Sarah Mara. So the theme of thesis there is about Gerkot Madabilim also Al-Daz Bezin. The thesis has a lot of kashas. How can it be that Gerkot Madabilim also Al-Daz Bezin and Pesan Zotam Amishlam Yifanam have a whole slew of kashas? So they say, in the middle, they say, well, how do you explain any Gerus? Every Gerus is this strange. Just like every Gerus works, this works also. So no one understands that line of thesis. What do you mean, how do you explain any Gerus? And again, the guy comes and he says, "Ani rotza lehizgayer." So he's mizgayer midaito, but the ger kotzen zach a little baby. He's only 2 months old. So what should I have to say by the baby that he's coming? Midaito is a baby is a labada. So Blazer Shach points out, you see from that taste is that even by a goy who comes to convert at the age of 25, it's not that his das geirus gives him the kedushas yisrael. Geirus does need das. The halacha just says you can't be megayer a person bal karchoy. But once he demonstrates that it's not Bal Korchai, then when we put him through the Maisa Geiris, he becomes Jewish, and in HaShamayim he's Mechuyev to observe mitzvahs. It's not that he, not only the obligation to mitzvahs is not a his Chayvus Midas, even the Maisa Geiris per se is not an act that's done by the person Midaita. It's just that it doesn't work Bal Korchai. The Rabban Shalom wasn't going to be Kof Aleim Harki Gigis if we're not going to say Nasv Nishma. So once we said Nasv Nishma, so it wasn't Bal Korchai. Once it wasn't Bal Korchai, then he said, okay, I'm making you Jewish, and I'm mitzavi you in the mitzvah. The Geiris and the Klali Sol at Har Sinai, the Gemara says that there was an act of Geiris. In fact, the Gemara says it increases. Daftas, we learn out all the dinim of Geiris with Duris from the Geiris at Maimon Har Sinai. So there was an act of Geiris. The Geiris was Bal Korchai, except that it wasn't Bal Korchai. Bal Korchai wasn't actual earnest. So they said Nasv Nishma. There was a Kabbalah from it and said Nasv Nishma. But then the Rebbeinu Shalom made the Geiris, and the Rebbeinu Shalom made the Bitzibonu. The both, the Kedushas Yisrael was granted min HaShamayim, not that we did it. When I marry a girl, I do the Kedushin. It's not that I express an interest and then the Rebbe makes the Kedushin, and then the min HaShamayim to make it. No, the Chassan makes the Kedushin. When a man divorces his wife, the husband makes the Ged. When I make Mekach HaMemka, the Meicher makes the Kinyan, and the Lekech, and so on. By Geirus, the person just expresses his interest that it shouldn't be Bal Korchai. That's why Blazer Shach points out in his sefer, the Loshen HaGemara in the Drosh and Yevamis is commenting on the Pasuk in Parashas Bo, V'chalev Edish Miknas Kesef Amalta Osa Az Yochal Boi. The Gemara says, V'chalev Edish V'lai Evedisho. What does that mean, Evedish? Elo, the Gemara says, Evedish Atamal Bal Korchai, V'yatamal Bal Korchai Benish. So the Loshen HaGemara is, he cannot be Megayer a person Bal Korchai. V'yatamal Bal Korchai Benish. What do you mean you can't be Mal Bal Korchai? Geiris needs Das. So he says, you see from the Gemara that that's not what it means. You don't need a positive Das for Geiris, and the Das of the Goy, Shirotzele, his Geir, creates the Kedushas Yisrael. How is he a Balabas to create Kedushas Yisrael? He just displays an interest in becoming Jewish. He expresses his desire to become Jewish. And then we make him Jewish. We make him Jewish. And then he becomes obligated in mitzvahs. Both the Kedushas Yisrael and the obligation to mitzvahs are not midaito. These are not things that he does on his own. That's what the Maral Prague is driving at. He says he needed the combination of both together. He needed the Nasav and Ishma first, and then the Kof Aleim HaKigigis, that both the Kedushas Yisrael and the Chiyuv Mitzvahs was Min HaShamayim. It was Behechreach. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to show that this is the way it has to be. It's not that the people accepted an obligation upon themselves. No, it has nothing to do with whether they want to obligate themselves in mitzvahs or not. The reason for obligation in mitzvahs is because that's the way it has to be. It's a davar muchrach.
Why do we have that whole gemara kimu v'kiblu, kiblu mashu kimu? That it seems to imply that the kafali of Harkavigis was a pisphon pair up until Purim. So this goes in
a... Difficult. Yeah, he talks about that also. It's a difficult gemara. A difficult gemara. I remember we used to have here in the yeshiva Rav Mendel Zaks, used to be the Berchen. He was the son-in-law of the Chafetz Chaim. So when he would give the Bechinas to the Talmidim, he would sit next to the Rebbe, and the Talmidim would be sitting in front. So he would ask the boys, say, oh, Gemara, Rashi, Tesis, whatever, and then he would mutter under his breath comments to the Rebbe. So his comments would often be like this. We'd ask the boy, what's Pshat in Gemara, and what does Rashi say? He would say Rashi. He would mutter under his breath, Azashver Rashi, such a difficult Rashi, nobody understands Rashi. He would ask the kid, what does Taisa say? And the kids would say, oh, but the Tosis and everything. He would mutter on this, but nobody understands the Tosis. Or Agamar, nobody understands the Gemara. So a lot of the Rebbe's were so annoyed. What do you mean nobody understands the Rashi? We worked so hard to explain the Rashi. But Achrei Kechlos HaKol, it was still a Shver Rashi. The easy pshat would always be the other one. So he had such an attitude. He would always like the easiest pshat. So he once commented on this. He said the Chafetz, he remembers his Babama made a comment. We don't understand this Gemara. Sof, he said, Nasu Nishma. He didn't understand. It's a Shver Gemara. In other words, we don't know how to deal with that Gemara. It's a Shver Gemara. Marami Prague on this Parsha, the Gur Aryeh, and his commentary on Chumash, he has to give some kind of a suggestion. Tries to explain that Gemara also. It's a long essay. Tries to explain that also. So that part is not so strong. He has one interesting thing, though. He says it doesn't mean that until the days of Achashverosh, the Torah was not really fully binding, and then Kimu v'Kibla, they accepted the whole Torah all over again. He says, that's not what it means. He said, where do you see that they accepted the whole Torah all over again? That's Poshim Shani Gemara. Kimu v'Kibla, Kimu Mashi Kibla Kva, they accepted all the Torah again. He says, no, what the Gemara means is like this. They said, Na'aseh v'Nishma. The line, my door, Rabbi Larais, is still sticky. We don't fully understand that. But he says it means like this. They said Na'aseh v'Nishma, they want to keep the Torah. Then the Rabbanu Shlom wanted to show them that this is the way it has to be, and it's not because of the Moitzah Sasecha Tishmar that the most important mitzvah is you have to keep your obligations and keep your word. No. So the Rabbanu Shlom forced it upon them, and he said, I'm giving you Kedushas Yisrael, and I'm mechayev you in mitzvahs, and that's the way it has to be. So the question is, were we happy about it, or were we not happy about it? Maybe we'll complain later on. So he says, from the fact that in later generations they added on a mitzvah of Megillah, Mikra Megillah was the first mitzvah Medivei Kabbalah, Medivei Sofim, that was added on later. It doesn't mean that Mekabbalah knew all the Taryag mitzvahs. No, he denies that simple Pshat Nigmar. He says, it's just a Kimei V'Kibla Aleim Azam, to celebrate Purim. He says, from the fact that they added on mitzvahs, the Rabbanon, what are they adding on to? So obviously they're so excited, they're so thrilled about having an oil of mitzvahs. They want more mitzvahs. Not only Taryag mitzvahs are they happy, they even added on number 614. So from this fact that they accepted an additional mitzvah upon themselves, it's the Chegloi Muslim Afreya, that there was nothing really Bal Karchom. That there was nothing Bal Karchom. Adirabbi, they said, Nasma Nishma, they meant it, and then the Rebbe Shlom forced it upon them. They were not unhappy about that. They were happy. Baharaya, that they even added on another mitzvah later on. The expression the Gemara says, "Mador Rabbi Leraisa," that's a little bit difficult. So he says it's not to be taken literally. The Mefarshim say it's not to, the Marshor has difficulty. It can't fully be taken literally. Why did Hashem punish Bnei Yisrael for any sins that they did before the days of Achashverosh? Why were they chased out from Eretz Yisrael? Because they didn't keep the laws of Shemitah. If they can give a teretz, Mador Rabbi Leraisa, it was forced upon them, so it's not binding. So that's why the Maral says it's not to be taken literally also. The purpose, the Rebbeinu Shlom originally was going to have the Ma'amid HaSinai in the following form. He was going to speak to Moshe Rabbeinu, and Bnei Yisrael would be watching this spectacle. And then, Vayagin Moshe's Divrei Amal Hashem, the Bnei Yisrael said, no, it's an Eliris Ismael, we want you to speak to us directly. So then Rebbeinu Shlom said, okay, I'll change the plan. And then the Rebbeinu Shlom spoke directly to Bnei Yisrael. That's how Rashi quotes from the Mechilta, the Pshat and the Psukim. So according to the original plan, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to speak to Moshe Rabbeinu directly, and Bnei Yisrael would just be listening in on the side. So then Hashem says, V'gam b'cho yaminu le'olam. And the purpose of the Ma'amid HaSinai would not only be that they should hear the Torah, there should be a Gilui Shechina, but also, V'gam b'cho yaminu le'olam, they should believe, Gam l'rabbis nevi'im ha'boim achorecha, Rashi writes, from the Hazal. Bnei Yisrael will believe in the institution of Nevuah, and number two, Gam B'cho, Yamin Aliyon. They will believe that Nevuah's Moshe Rabbeinu is greater than that of the other Nevi'im. The way the whole story was changed, it was changed so that Maimon HaSinai was speaking to Bnei Yisrael, so that Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't really, he wasn't the recipient of the Nevuah. So it was a little bit different. It was a little bit different. But the way it was originally planned, our Kodesh Baruch was going to speak everything to Moshe Rabbeinu. So then it was going to be, the Maimon HaSinai, in addition to everything else, was going to be for the purpose of demonstrating these two Ikori HaAmunah. Number one, that we believe in the institution of Nevuah, Gam L'Rabbis Nevi'im HaBoim HaKharecho, and B'cho Yaminu Le'olam, that everyone will realize and believe that the Nevuah's Moshe Rabbeinu is on a much higher Madrega. The Rambam quotes these two Ikar Ramunah. What, there are differences between the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu and that of the Shanavim. One of the differences is that Moshe Rabbeinu had the Nevuah b'hokitz v'lo b'chalom. He didn't collapse, he didn't fall asleep. He was awake with all of his faculties. And Kedabri Shariyev, like a person speaks to someone else. All of Bnei Yisrael had that madrega. At the occasion of Maimon HaSinai, they were all makabel the Torah b'hokitz v'lo b'chalom. They were all awake. That's what the Kuzari writes, the Kuzari that you mentioned before. He says that there are really not four parts to the Bria Demet Sameach Chaim Adar, but there's Klal Yisrael. There's a fifth part, Klal Yisrael. How did he know? Because he, in his conversation with the Melech, so he says, what would you do if I would tell you that there's a person who fasted for 40 days and 40 nights and he didn't fall asleep and he was speaking to God and Baruch Shalom was telling him all the dinim and everything. So he says, that's an angel. So he says, no, it's not an angel, it was a human being, it was Moshe Rabbeinu. So there is such a thing. So he says, but it's so different from all the other human beings. The Melech thought, that's an angel, that's a different Bria. So the Kuzari says, no, it's part of the Bria, so, but it's the fifth category of the Bria, and that's Bnei Yisrael. So why is that Bnei Yisrael? That's Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is the one who was on Hasina. The answer is, the fact that Bnei Yisrael could possibly have a Nevuah at Har Sinai, v'hokitz v'lo b'chalom, that was on the Madregam divorce Moshe Rabbeinu, shows that all of Bnei Yisrael are roi for such a Nevuah. Except that usually we don't prepare ourselves, so we don't get such a Nevuah. But the fact that it happened once in the history of the world shows that we always have such a potential. So that's why he considers that a separate chelik of the Bria. So the Rambam lists off all the various differences between the Darga of Nevuah Moshe Rabbeinu and that of Shanavim. One of the differences that he mentions is, that appears in today's Sedra, Moshe Yedaber V'Halakim Ya'anenu B'Kol. One of the differences is that Moshe Rabbeinu was the only Navi who could initiate the Nevuah. He can ask HaKadosh Baruch, what do you have to say about this? By the B'nai Tzolofchot it says they should wait. And Im Duvi Yeshma Ma'itzav Hashem, wait and I'll ask the Baruch Shalom, he gets an answer. The other Nevi'im, they don't have the private number. It's an unlisted number. So they don't have the ability to call up to the Baruch Shalom and ask him, what do you say about that? They would prepare themselves for the Nevuah. Sometimes they would be zechet to get a Nevuah. Most of the time they wouldn't get a Nevuah. They couldn't initiate the Nevuah. Moshe Rabbeinu is the only one who can initiate the Nevuah. So that's what the Mephoroshim point out. Moshe Yedaber V'Halakim Ya'anenu B'Kol is one of the major differences between Nevuah's Moshe Rabbeinu as opposed to that of the Shar HaRavim. Pasuk says, "Vayoytze Moshe Sam Likraso Elokim." What does it mean, Likraso Elokim? Rashi quotes from the Mechilta, "Magid Shashchina Yotze Likrasam Kechosan Hayoytze Likras Kalo." Zeru Shneim Hashem Isinai Bo, Veleinema Hashem Lisinai Bo. Likras means that they're both walking towards each other, like a Chosan Hayoytze Likras Kalo. That's the biblical description of the special relationship between HaKadosh Baruch and Bnei Yisrael is like a Chosan and a Kalo, like a marriage. Marriage is the closest kurva that you can have. The Gemara says that Baal Kishta Nishi Kibaylo, so the Rabbit says it's considered like a Baldova. It's not like other Kerovim. The Rabbit explains the Dina Palgina Dibur based on that. It's not like other Kerovim, that it's Rishim Rishim, Rishim Mishen. No, Baal Vishtoi is the closest relationship. So that's what the Psukim described, the whole Shir Ashirim and various other places in Tanakh. The relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Esau is described in different ways. Our daughter, my sister, all the different relatives. And there's also like a husband and a wife. So the Pasuk says, Likra Shalakim like a chasen hayetzi likra sakala. We don't do that anymore today. Some people started to reinstitute it. Soloveitchik got very angry. He thought that it comes from the goyim, that the chasen marches out down the aisle to pick up the kala. He thought it comes from the goyim. Well, it comes from the goyim. It comes from Amir Hasina. Shteitach in the Pasuk, Likra Shalakim. Why do you say it comes from the goyim? So I think the answer is, because by us, the girl and the boy are just engaged, they're not even married. Chatzon Hayetzi Likras Akala means when you have Erisin already, and you want to make Nisuin, so then they're married, it's his wife, it's just that she's an Eish Yisish Shelo Beis HaBaal, he wants to make Nisuin, which means an Eish Yisish Beis HaBaal. So then it's his wife, so he goes out and he greets his wife, and he takes her into the Beis HaBaal, and he does the Nisuin. So here there already was an ongoing relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Esau, it's not just that they were engaged. There really was a relationship of an Erisin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to make it more, he wanted to make it into a Nisuin. So then he goes and he greets Papa Yos, but Taka only engaged. He's not yet a chosn. Strictly speaking, he's not yet a chosn until after he gives her the ring and says, Hariyat Mikudeshes. Was the Nisuan, yeah. So, the question, the details are questionable, yes. It's in contradiction to what I suggested last week, that the Beis HaMikdash is Beis HaShem. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought Bnei Yisrael into the Beis HaMikdash, that was the Knisa L'Rishusa, that was the Nisuan. And the Erison was when the Luchas were given. So the Luchas were not yet given until way later. So there wasn't even Erison. So it's not only engagement. Lamed HaSinim was only an engagement then. It was only an engagement. So we don't understand. So what is Yachos and Yetzir Nikras Kala? He's going out on a date. They're only going to get engaged and not even doing Erison, not even doing anything yet. The details are problematic. The Gemara in Bava Kama has, it really belongs to Shabbos, but it's not there. The Gemara in Bava Kama has different practices of the various Amorim, whether we treat Shabbos as a Kala, and the Chosin is Bnei Yisrael. Bnei Yisrael are the Chosin, and the Shabbos is a Kala. That's based on a Medrash in Bereshis. That each one of the days of the Shabbos, the day of Shabbos came to complain to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, each one of the days of the week has a Ben Zug. Monday has Sunday, and Wednesday has Tuesday, and Friday has Thursday, and Shabbos stands alone. Now Shabbos is crying, has no shidduch, has no partner to go with. The Baruch Shalom says, Klal Yisrael will be your partner. What exactly that means is problematic. So that's what the Gemara says in Baruch Kama. We treat Shabbos as the Kala, and we are the Chosin, L'chari. So the Chosin should be Yotzi L'Kras HaKala. So that's why some Amorim had a practice, Bovin Yotzi L'Kras Shabbos HaMalka. They would walk out, Arizal, based on the Gemara, they would walk out into the fields in order to greet the Shabbos. Then the Gemara says, other Amorim did not walk out. So the Mashoi asked the question, why not? Shteitach HaRashi, Likras Elokim, the Chosin Yotzi L'Kras Kala. So if the Shabbos is the Kala and the Chosin is the Klal Yisrael, that's the Ben Zug, so why shouldn't we all walk out? He suggests something. So I thought that perhaps that's the answer. It only makes sense to the chosin to be Yetzir Likras HaKala when there already is Erison and he wants to clinch it and make the Nisuan. But before Shabbos comes, there isn't even Erison. There's nothing. There's nothing yet. So that's strictly speaking by us. You really don't have any, they're just engaged. But there's no Alpidin, there's no relationship. Where did this Kol HaShofer come from? Whose Shofer were they using here? There's a Pirkei de Rav Lezer that says that this came from the Shofer Shel Elo Shel Yitzchok. That Elo, and the Maharal Prague explains it in the Gurari at length, the Elo Shel Yitzchok was created according to the Mishnah, the Erev Shabbos Bein Hashmoshes. What does it mean? It wasn't part of Teva. If it would have been part of Teva, it would have been created during the Sheshis Mebresh. It wasn't a Behema like all the Behemas. It was a Behema Alpines. So everything of that, Elo Shel Yitzchok, was going to be used in history as a schus for the Jewish people. The Akedas Yitzchak was a schus for the Jewish people. Akedas Yitzchak Gazara Hayam Barachim Tizka. Kodesh Baruch Hu remembers the schus of Akedas Yitzchak throughout all the generations. And on different occasions, different parts of that, Behemah Shalnes, different parts of that, Isle Shalnes, were used for different things. So the Medrash says that the Isle had the various Nimin, various gidin in his body, so those were used for the harp of David HaMelech to play beautiful Zmiris to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to compose the Tehillim. And the Or of the Elo Shel Yitzchak was used by Eliyahu HaNavi when he had Vayachkor Ezor, when he made a leather belt. The leather belt of Eliyahu HaNavi was also a pines, and that was made from that Elo Shel Yitzchak. And then the Medrash continues, the Pirkei de Rav Lezer Medrash continues to say that there were two horns, the right horn was bigger than the left horn. They weren't symmetrical, so the left horn was the horn that was blowing this horn shel nes. It wasn't a real horn boifen shel teva, it was a keren shel nes. The left horn was blown at the occasion of Maimon HaSinai, and the right horn, which is bigger than the left horn, is going to be safe for Los Alova, by Yom Ho Yitoka B'Shefer Godol. When Mashiach will come, that'll be even a bigger Gilui Shechina than the Gilui Shechina on the occasion of HaSinai. So that's a famous Medrash, that's in Pirkei de Rav Lezer. Kodesh Baruch Hu commands Moshe Rabbeinu v'higbalta sahar saviv leimar. You should put a gvulim around. Saviv leimar. What is leimar? The Rashi says leimar that the gvul told the people that they shouldn't come close. What exactly does that mean? Terek Yutes Pasuk Yud Beis. Iqbal Tassov Yiblema. Hagvul Hayo Oyim Alehem Yishama Me'alos Mikan V'Holo V'Atem Tazir Malka. Well, the Gvul was speaking. Like you have, I don't know, maybe it's wrong. I visualize it like they have in the movies or like they have in the bank. They have these stands and then you have a wire or something hanging down. So they have such a thing around Har Sinai. The Gvul Tassov Yiblema. And the Gvul would stay, wave its finger to people, don't come near. That's what it means. Hagvul haya oim alohem. So the Tzeid la derech learns pshat like that in Rashi. Tzeid la derech by the author of the Sherva, he learns that's what it means. It was an S that the Gvul was speaking, even though it wasn't even an animal. It wasn't a Bachai Bechlam. Rabbi Ephraim Zalman Margolius in his Sefer, Shem Ephraim, has a commentary on Chumash and Rashi also. He quotes the Tzeid la derech. He says he never heard that that this was an S. The Gemara has such a thing by the Kalfi, by the when they divided Eretz Yisrael, Alpi Hagoro, so it says Alpi Hagoro, Alpi means speaking, that the girl was speaking. So the Gemara says that there was an S. The girl shouted out when Yeshua ben Nun drew out the lot, that the girl was a piece of paper. So it shouted out, I'm Chelkishol ben Yamin, and I get this in this section in Eretz Yisrael, in accordance with the other Kalfi that's coming up in the other Bez. So the Gemara says that was an S. He says he never found in any midrashim that it should say that the Gvul was speaking. So he says he doesn't think that it means like that. Hagvul hayoyim alahem, the fact that this barricade was put up indicated to the people that they're not supposed to come any closer. It doesn't mean that it was a nest, that it was speaking. It wasn't speaking. It told the people, the Gvul told the people not to go. The sign tells me not to walk outside. The sign is talking? No, the sign tells me not to walk outside. I read the sign. That's what it means. Hagvul hayoyim alahem. The Gvul told them not to go. He doesn't think that you have to learn that it that it's referring to a nest. What? Yeah, the cow that was speaking. There's a Mishnah in Oz about the Behema Hamadaveh. Yeah, just spoke about the Shor Hamadaveh. So there's a Mishnah in Oz about a guy has an imagination that an animal is speaking. Yeah. The Gemara talks about Shor Sinai Bikama. The Pasuk says not only anyone who touched Har Sinai would be Chayv Skila, and even a Shor, Behema Mishlo Yichya, the Pasuk Yud Gimel, even if an animal goes up on Har Sinai, you also have to give the animal Skila. So the Gemara has a suffix that you give the animal skila. Do you need a bezna of 23 to give the animal skila? Would it be sufficient with a bezna of 3? The place is there on that Gemara, the end of the first parak in Sanhedrin, has difficulty with that Gemara. Why do have a habi? There's a mitzvah to learn Torah. Torah didn't let apply l'dayrus. But if something is only hayrasha, this whole story, not allowed to touch Har Sinai today, you're allowed to go on Har Sinai. If you know where it is, you're allowed to go. If I go on Har Sinai, the blue shofar, it says, after the blue shofar, everyone is allowed to go. So the whole thing is only hayrasha. So what's a mitzvah of Talmud Torah to discuss what the dinim were? It's the chbitl Torah. That's not Talmud Torah, it's bitl Torah. Mitzvah of Talmud Torah is only to learn dinim that are noig l'dara. So what does the Gemara have a hakira? What was the din? Shosina become with a bezna of 3, a bezna of 23. Tyson says bothered with the kasha, so they have a comment. So the Meiri has a very difficult comment there. He says that this is a din l'dayrus, because when the Mishkan was built, it was for the purpose of carrying over, having a hemshech from the Maimon HaSinai. So all the dinim that applied to HaSinai were carried over later to the Mishkan. So the Gemara's topic would be Shor Sinai Bikama. What if a shor goes and it touches the walls of the Mishkan against the din? You would have to give the shor skila. How much of a bezin would you need? A bezin of 3, a bezin of 23? The question is the Miri right? Is Taka such a din? No one is allowed to touch the walls of the Beis HaMikdash? No one is allowed to touch the walls of the Mishkan, the Beis HaMikdash, like the Miri holds that it's a din with theirs. The Pashta says that he's not right, that there is no such din. Last night I have a sefer at home that I never used. The Chayei Odom wrote another sefer Chachmas Odom, and then he wrote another sefer about the mitzvahs Hatluyos Ba'aretz. Shari Tzedek, he refers to it every so often in the sefer. It's available, I'm sure, in the Sfarim cell. So he talks about the mitzvahs Hatluyos Ba'aretz, the Abiz Raihu. All the other dinam also they have to do with Eretz Yisrael. So he discusses the common shaila that comes up every so often. What about kibbutz versus mitzvahs yishuv Eretz Yisrael? A child wants to move to Eretz Yisrael, and the parents don't want. The parents want that the child should stay near them. So the mitzvah kibbutz is that the parent can ask for Kibbutz doesn't just mean to respect your parents. The child moves away to China and he has big respect for his parents. But that's not kibbutz. Kibbutz means to service the parents. Service the parents means within reason. Let's say the child is married and has already grandchildren. The child already has great-grandchildren. And the father calls him up, the great-great-great-grandfather calls him up and says, hey, come over here, please put on my shoes. Well, then please put on my shoes. He lives in Florida. And he's busy running a whole business with all of his grandchildren's great-grandchildren. Has said, please come help me cook up. It's within reason. The child has an obligation to give service to the parents, but not to the extent that it should interfere with his ability to function. The father has no right to tell the child how to run his life. I tell you, you marry this girl, and you go to the school, and you become a doctor, and you open a practice over here. That's interfering with the child's own. That's understood. The mitzvah kibbutz to give service to the parents. Mitzvah to honor parents, that's really the mitzvah of meiro. That's a different mitzvah, meiro. The mitzvah kibbutz means to render service. The service is to give physical service. When the mother asks you to take down the garbage, you go shopping, and the father asks you whatever, to drop him off at the airport, or to make some phone calls for him, go to the bank, that's kibbutz. And then there's another service if the parents want the children around the house. They enjoy seeing the children. They enjoy seeing the children. The children want to move out of the house. They want to maintain their own apartment. See, if they're married, that's reasonable. But if they're not married, so it's not reasonable. The parents want to have hanah by seeing their children. So that's the shaila over here. The children get married, they want to move to Eretz Yisrael. Look, they have a right to lead their own life. But if you have children who are single, and they want to leave to move, so that's a big shaila that the pasuk can discuss. So the Chacham Sodom has a discussion of that. So he quotes one of the Achrayim, that's what all the Zionists are about, and we'll quote that sefer. He says, you're not allowed to leave her to sell a lulimot Torah, leave her to Isha, or l'kayim kibbutz. So he says, it doesn't say that anywhere. It doesn't say l'kayim kibbutz. There's a long arichas of that. So he quotes, after everything is all said and done, he quotes a pilpul back and forth. Then he quotes a medrash on Lech Lecha. Rav Kodesh Baruch Hu tells Avraham Avinu, it's okay, you can leave your father. Rashi points out at the end of Parshas Noach that his father was still alive. So Avraham Avinu was a little nervous. How can I leave my father? What's going to be with kibbutz av? I won't be punished on the lack of kibbutz av. So the Baruch Hu tells Avraham Avinu, you will not be punished with kibbutz av, because I'm telling you explicitly, I want you to go to Eretz Yisrael, and you have no choice. Forget about your father. Other people will be punished with kibbutz av. What does that mean? Other people who won't do kibbutz av will be punished. Or other people who decide to move to Eretz Yisrael and leave their father alone, they'll also be punished. So the Chayyadim thinks that the Pashup Shat is other people who are not told explicitly, I want you to go live in Eretz Yisrael, so they will be punished for lack of kibbutz av, even though they're going to do a mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael. Aye, but the klal is that the kibbutz av is not derech any mitzvahs. Whenever there's a conflict with kibbutz av and another mitzvah, so the other mitzvah takes precedence. So the Gemara says on the pasuk Kulach Machayav Mechroidi. So what's the pshat over here? That the mitzvah of Yishev Eretz Yisrael is a less important mitzvah. See, but the Chayyadim implies not so. No, what is the nature of the mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael? There is such a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. The nature of the mitzvah is if you have a brera either to live in Eretz Yisrael or to live somewhere else, so then live in Eretz Yisrael. Let's say living in Eretz Yisrael, he won't have a panos. He lives in America, he'll have a panos. Live in Eretz Yisrael, have such a poor parnasa, he'll have to live off of the docket. He'll be absolutely miserable. Or let's say he'll live in Eretz Yisrael, he won't be able to marry the girl that he really loves. So the Gemara says, no, then it's not a fair choice. So he doesn't have an option of living in Eretz Yisrael. That's called an abnormal living. So the Gemara says, it's mutter to leave Eretz Yisrael, lo matar v'leis isha, because if you tell a guy, even though there are many girls in Eretz Yisrael, many yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael, he wants to learn in YU, Torah Ramado. He wants to learn a Lakewood, whatever. What in Lakewood? They have a million yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael. No, he has to learn a Lakewood for some reason or another. So the Gemara says, even though there are other yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael, even though there are other girls in Eretz Yisrael, but he has his heart set on this girl and on this yeshiva. So then the Gemara says, then it's not an option. So then there's no mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. Whenever you have a choice, either live here or live there. Let's say, you live in America, you make $2 million a year. You live in Eretz Yisrael, you'll only make $500,000 a year. $500,000 is enough to live on, nothing to cry about. So then you should live in Eretz Yisrael. But if living in Eretz Yisrael will be miserable, then not. So here also, the mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael is if you have such an opportunity. But if the parents want to have the hanuah of having their children around the house until the time that they get married, so that's what the Chacham Sodom is misupik about. He's not sure, and he thinks that the Medrash says that then there's no mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. That's not considered an option. He has a berach to live in Eretz Yisrael, live in America. That's not a brera. He's mechuyev to give the parents hanuah by being near them. Anyway, it's one of the issues that comes up all the time. Lois Yirtzach. We're all supposed to speak about Lois Yirtzach. Yes. Let it be known that the Jewish religion still subscribes to the principle, the age-old principle of Lois Yirtzach. One is not permitted to murder. Unless you have circumstances, look at laws. The law says in New York State that if a man is a right, if you're allowed to kill him. That's an international law. It's not a Jewish law. It has nothing to do with the Jewish religion. Every legal system has such a principle. You have to figure out whether the man is a right if he's not a right. If it's a right if he's abad and nitan latzilim and afshan. But there is a din of lois yirtzach. What's a din if you kill a cheresh shayt of a katan? It's a humorous shayla. It's a big joke. There's a sefer halachas k'tanis by the Maram Chagiz. He writes there, if you kill a katan, it's an often a pasuk that you chayit. Makin nefesh. Yumas, Maka Nefesh Yumas, the Rashi quotes a drasha, Mishpatim, that even if you kill a katan, but if there's no beferish to drasha, what's the din if you kill a cheresh or a shreita? So the halachas ketana says, you're not chayv nisi. He says, a katan is going to grow up to become a gadol someday, so you killed him, so in effect you killed a gadol, one who had the potential to become a gadol. Kill a cheresh, you're not chayv. So all achrayim say that he's absolutely wrong. Absolutely doesn't make any sense whatsoever. Now you didn't, you're allowed to kill a retarded person. Cherish is retarded and a shaita means deranged. You're allowed to kill all the crazy people. Of course not. You have skill also? Yeah, they hold that he's wrong on that account too. They hold there's no mocker anywhere in the Gemara. The Pashta says that it certainly is an Issa deraisa with the punishment too. Yeah, the full punishment of skill as well. On the din of Lois Achmoy, the Rambam and the Ravi both say the same thing, that there's no Malkus, but they give two different reasons why. Rambam says no Malkus because it's a lav shema maisa. And the Ravi says, what do you mean there's no maisa? The Rambam himself says that what's the difference between Lois Achmoy and Lois Isavre? And Lucha Shnias, it says, in the Dibris Ashnias, it says Lois Isavre. So the Rambam explains based on a Mechilta, that lois sava you violate when you just have the desire to get what the other person has. And lois sachma is only violated. Lois sachma the lakachtalach. Lois sachma kesu zav alei malakachtalach. So one is only in violation of lois sachma if he ultimately takes it. So the rabbi says, "Ein lecha ma'ase gadol mizeh." What do you mean? He has this Mona Lisa, and I desire it so much that I coax him that he should sell it to me, and then I walk off with it. So when I walk off with it, that's the violation of lois sachma. It's not a lav sheish ma'ase. Why does the Rambam hold that it's a lav sheish ma'ase? The rabbi says, "No, it's a different reason why there's no malchus." Because it's a lapshin itan latashlumin. We were discussing yesterday. Nukla, lapshin itan latashlumin ain't like mal. So Rabbi Chaim Oizer has in the Tshuvas Achiezer a famous explanation. Famous says it became so famous, other people forgot about it that they saw it by Rabbi Chaim Oizer, and they printed it in their own name. I don't think they meant to gander it. They wouldn't be embarrassed to quote Rabbi Chaim Oizer. They forgot that they saw it by him. Other Choshev people forgot, and they printed it in their own name. So he says that there's a fundamental machlokes, the Rambam and the Ravid. What is the nature of the din of Lois Sachman? The Rambam holds that basically it's an iser of desire, except that there are different levels of desire. Lois is sabi you violate when you have a slight desire, even if it never leads you anywhere. You never get to do anything about it. If you desire to get the other person's wife, and then you coax her to get divorced from her husband and to marry you, that shows that you had a very big desire. So then you are in violation of the Aveira, not when you finally, when you take her, it's a glory Muslim afraid that you were in violation of this Aveira when you had the desire in the first place. Because this wasn't Stama Taiva, this was a Chemda. Taiva means, Lois Sava, a desire to get what belongs to someone else. And Lois means such a strong desire that it leads up to a Maisa later on. So then if it leads up to the Maisa, that's not the Aveira, the Maisa. The Maisa is a Shir, that's Megala, that the desire was such a strong desire. So the Rambam holds, Vosof, Kosof, Tzlach, Alav, Shem, O Maisa. To have a desire is Alav, Shem, O Maisa. And the Rabbit holds not true, they're two totally different prohibitions. Lois is sad as an Issa of desiring, so that's Taka Lav Shem Omaisa, that's an Issa Midus, not that the Midus of Taiva. And Lois Sachman is an Issa Lekicha, that's why the Rabbit, that's why Chaim Oizer writes, the Rabbit Lishitosa writes in the end of Perek Aleph, in Ilchus Gzela, that's what these two Rambams and Rabbits are. Rambam and the Rabbit argue, what's the reason why there's no Malkus on Lois Sachman? They both agree there's no Malkus, but they have a Machlokes why. And the other Ravid is also there, that the Ravid says one is only in violation of Lois Sachman if the other fellow doesn't say Roitzani. If I desire his Mona Lisa and I pressure him till he sells it to me, and he says Roitzani, then the Ravid says you were in violation of Lois Sachman, but since he had Roitzani, so you're not in violation of Lois Sachman. That's how the Ravid read Agamara in Bava Kamma, in Perek HaKoinis. So the Ravid understands that the Isa Lo Sachman is an Isa Gezel. Because if he says Roitzani is masking to the Mecca, then you're not in violation of Gezel. If he doesn't say Roitzani, then you're not kind of the Mona Lisa that you took. You paid him the money. He never agreed to this sale. So then you'll be in violation of Asachman. So the Ravid holds of Asachman is an Isa Gezel. So then we understand why he holds it. It's a Lap Shinitin L'Tashlumin. The question is, how does the Ravid understand that L'Sachman is in? That's Rav Chaim Moshe writes. The question is, how does he understand L'Sachman and Eishes Reyechom? What do you mean in Isa Gzela? Doesn't that itself prove that the Rambam is right? Rashi quotes in the Mechilta also on the observance of Shabbos. How is that humanly possible? He works 6 days and he can retire for life. The Pashup Shah and the Pasuk doesn't mean that. You can do whatever your heart desires. You can do from A to Z. And on Shabbos, you can't do from A to Z. 39 malachas are prohibited. You can only do certain things, but you can't do kol malachas, can't do whatever your heart desires. That's the Pashup Shah. But Rashi quotes from the Tanaim a different Shah. Yosisa kol malachtecho, you should accomplish, you should do all of your work. And in 6 days, he does enough work to retire. So the Mechilta says yes. When it comes Shabbos, Kishetovo Shabbos, Yehei Beinecha, Kilo Kol Malachta Asuya, Kilo Kol Malachta Asuya, Shalota Har Her Acha Malacha. That on Shabbos, not only are you not permitted to talk about the business, you're not allowed to think about business, you're supposed to dismiss it from your mind. You should view Shabbos as if everything was taken care of. You're not allowed to have any dangus on Shabbos about your parnasa. You're not supposed to think about it at all. Most people are in violation of this Aseres HaDibros. Most people are in violation of all the Aseres HaDibros. The first included, all of them. Anochi Hashem Elokecha, yeah. That's what some of the Gdolim suggested, that the people leave Tzavos for the children. The children usually are very medactic to observe the Tzavos. So he said they would recommend they should write the Aseres HaDibros in the Tzavos. Maybe the children will observe it a little better. If they know that the father on his deathbed asked that they should observe Anochi Hashem Elokecha and Shabbos and all of these things, Lois Achmed and Lois Tana Berecha Eid Shoker, maybe the children will observe it a little better. Amatzoi Shabbos, right after we finish saying Atachan Antonim, right after we say Havdalah, so then we can start worrying about business again. So that's why we start in the Zmiris of Matzoi Shabbos. Those are the two dominant themes. Those are the two main things. On Shabbos, we have a tradition in the Gemara that Eliyahu has one schus. They don't have too many more schus. Rav Avital from Eretz Yisrael has visited yeshiva many times. I don't think he ever gave a public shiur. In the schus of the Israeli government, that they really have a schus, whatever their intent, whatever their motivations were, they appointed a Talmud Chacham, an outstanding Talmud Chacham, to be a member of the cabinet. A cabinet member, not some member of the Knesset. Whether they're going to listen to him or not is a different question. That was close that they appointed him to be a cabinet member. So in the schools of the Israeli government, he's giving a shiur today, open to the public, free of charge. Everyone is invited to attend. A quarter to three.